There's nothing more valuable than your soul. You can't hold anything in comparison up to your soul and say, well, this is right about as valuable as my soul. Jesus said, no, no, no. Your soul is so valuable that I'm going to give my blood as the redemption cost for your soul.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of the exciting Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Pastor Jeff brings you powerful biblical messages, along with practical applications that can help you grow in your personal walk with Jesus Christ. So stay tuned and be challenged, be encouraged, and be transformed by the power of the Word of God. Today on Life Talk, we're starting a new message entitled, The Lost Coin. This is chapter 2 on the series called Lost. To tell us more about today's message, here's Pastor Jeff.
In Jesus' famous parable about things lost and found, he illustrates the lostness of mankind with a lost sheep, a lost coin, a lost son, and a lost older brother. This time, we're going to look at the lost coin. It might help us to remember that Jesus brought this parable of things lost and found after being harshly criticized by the Pharisees and the teachers of the law for spending time with the, quote, undesirables of society. These rigid religious leaders felt it was a step down to be around known sinners. But Jesus did not see it that way at all. He had come to seek and to save that which was lost. I believe you're going to be blessed as we open up the meaning behind the lost coin. So grab your Bible and follow along as I share the message, The Lost Coin, from our series I've simply called Lost.
Jesus was always looking for the lost. If you follow Jesus around for a day, you would find him tracking the lost, talking to the lost, reaching out to the lost, praying for the lost, hurting for the lost, teaching the lost, eating with the lost, and it got him in trouble. Jesus was all about evangelism. And the Bible says that we are Christians. Christian means little Christ or like Christ. So as Jesus was, so should we be in this world. We should be not just loving one another, but always, always thinking of the lost. Now, that's not easy to do. That doesn't come naturally. It doesn't come naturally to me. I catch myself looking at somebody lost sometimes critically. You know, how can they live that way? And then the Holy Ghost will catch me and say, what are you doing? Look at the way you used to live. Well, they look freaky. Holy Ghost say, have you forgotten how you looked? But I want to show you today that Jesus taught about the lost in Luke 15. Matter of fact, the whole chapter is about things lost. Luke 15, things lost. Lost sheep, lost coin, lost son, lost elder brother. Now let's read, because today I want to talk to you about the second thing that was lost. Last week we talked about the sheep that went astray. But today I want to talk to you about the coin that was lost in the house. Now it says in Luke 15, verse 1, I'm reading out of the Living Bible here just to make it simple. Dishonest tax collectors and other notorious sinners, I love that, often came to listen to Jesus' sermons. He had their ear. But this caused complaints from who? From the Jewish religious leaders, from the church folks, and the experts on Jewish law who should have known better. Because he was associating with such despicable people, oh no, even eating with them. He had a Big Mac with the folks. He would sit down and talk with the folks. So Jesus knew about their criticism, and he brought an incredible parable consisting of four things lost. I'm only going to read about the coin today. A woman has 10 valuable silver coins and loses one, says Jesus. Won't she light a lamp and look in every corner of the house and sweep every nook and cranny until she finds it? Look at major effort expended to find one lost coin. And then won't she call in her friends and neighbors to rejoice with her once it's found? In the same way, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God when one sinner repents. Amen? So not only is Jesus always looking for the lost, but heaven is watching intently as Christ Jesus reaches lost people and brings them into salvation. And heaven rejoices. Amen? I love the Bible. I love it. It never gets old. It's a thousands-year-old book, but it never gets old to me and to those who love the Lord. But his word is like honey to our soul. Amen? And I love the teachings of Jesus. He was so easy to understand. He was not ivory tower theology type that he spoke things and went way over the head, didn't use big words, but he used words easy to understand, parables and illustrations easy for us to understand. Now, on the heels of criticism, which he suffered all the time, being slammed for eating with sinners and with the social outcasts of his day, now notice he didn't react and say, well, who are you to judge? But he responded with a teaching. He said, let me tell you why I'm always eating with the sinners. Let me tell you why I'm taking the time and trouble to sit down with these folks and talk. Let me tell you why. And he went into a parable of four things lost: a lost sheep, a lost coin, a lost son, and a lost elder brother. And they were lost for four different reasons. The sheep was lost from straying. The coin was lost by neglect. The son was lost by rebellion. And the elder brother, he was lost through religion. Amen? Now today I'm going to talk about the lost coin. And once again, I just want to bring to your attention in a fresh way. Jesus was all about things lost. If you had known Jesus and walked around with him, you would have seen he's all about things that are lost. How many of you are so glad that once you were lost, but now you're found? Amen? How many of you are glad he sought you out and found you and called you and convicted you, and now he has stood you on your feet and planted you on a rock and changed your life and given you a hope and delivered you from sin? How many of you are glad? Come on, give God praise. He once said to his disciples, he said, you want to know why I came to this earth, why I left glory and came here? Here's why. I came to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, I shared with you last week that the word lost that he used is not the way we use it. We use it like somebody was lost in the woods. Somebody was lost in a strange city. I get lost 3 blocks from my home. I need a GPS because I easily get turned around. But that's not what the word lost means. The lost in the original language here means to be utterly ruined, to be totally destroyed. And there is an eternal aspect to it. It means I am utterly ruined forever, forever. I'm lost forever. I'm destroyed forever. So when Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost, we could change it and say, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was in peril of being utterly ruined forever. That's what it means. Now, our world as a whole, I assure you, does not see itself as lost. You need the Holy Ghost to convict you and show you that you're lost. If he doesn't convict you, you're never going to know it. Thank God for the movement of the Holy Spirit in the world today. I know if the Holy Spirit had not convicted me, I would never have known that I was lost, though I was sitting in jail as a 16-year-old when I heard the gospel. But I would have never known that I was lost if the Holy Spirit hadn't convicted me. And our generation, our culture, our world doesn't see itself as lost. We're more like the people in Noah's day, and I believe they are a perfect illustration of us. The way they were before the great flood, they never took Noah's warnings seriously. They had somebody preaching to them for 120 years. Think about that. God says to Noah, there's a great judgment coming, Noah, and I want you to warn the world and build a boat. I want you to warn the world that it's coming, and I want you to build a boat, and I'm going to give you 120 years. So for 120 years, he worked, because they lived way long back then, because the environment, the atmosphere was different. They lived a long time, and sin had not fully taken its toll on human longevity. So they lived hundreds and hundreds of years. So he took 120 years and he built. And while he was building, he was preaching and he was warning. Peter tells us he warned the world of his day that a judgment was coming. But they took it very flippantly. They went through life with no sense at all of their impending judgment. To them, he was the nutty old man down the street building a boat where there was no water. That's who he was. Jesus said, the arrival of the Son of Man will take place in times just like Noah's. Before the great flood, everybody was carrying on as usual, having a good old time, right up to the day Noah boarded the ark, eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, unconcerned about the condition of their soul, their eternal state, unconcerned totally. Jesus said, they knew nothing. They were totally unaware until the flood hit and swept everything away. They were totally unaware they were disconnected from God, that they were lost, lost in the Bible sense, lost. They were totally unaware. Jesus said, this is how the world is going to be before I return. It's going to be just like that. And that's why he talked about the infinite value of your soul and mine. He said, what do you benefit if you gain the whole world, but you lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? It's a rhetorical question. He gave us the answer by giving us the question. Of course not. There's nothing more valuable than your soul, not anything. There's nothing more valuable than your soul. You can't measure anything. You can't hold anything in comparison up to your soul and say, well, this is right about as valuable as my soul. Jesus said, no, no, no. There's nothing more valuable than your soul. Your soul is so valuable. I have come to this earth from heaven to seek and to save the lost souls of this world. And your soul is valuable enough that I'm going to give my blood as the redemption cost for your soul. Because it can't be bought with money. You can't slap down enough earthly money to pay for a soul. It's got to be the eternal red blood, innocent blood of the only begotten Son of God is the only currency that works between God and us to forgive our soul and redeem our soul and save our soul. Lost. Think of that word, lost. We often see a flashing sign on the highway. It says silver alert. And it'll give the make and model of a car and it'll give the license plate. And what they're letting you know is somebody with Alzheimer's or some kind of debilitating disease has gotten behind the wheel of a car. They think they do, but they don't know where they're going. And so the whole city goes on a hunt for this one person. Down every highway, you see the signs. Down every highway, there's the plate, there's the make and model. And you're looking for that one person who doesn't know they're lost. They're going down the highway, don't know they're lost. They got to be found because they don't know they're lost. They've got to be discovered because they don't know they're lost. It's the same thing with lost humanity. We're lost and don't know it. We're driving down the road of life and we don't know that we're lost. And we don't know that all of heaven is on the hunt for you and me. All of heaven is geared to finding, to seeking, and saving that which was lost. So to drive the point of our lostness home, Jesus talks about four things lost: a sheep, a coin, a son, and an elder brother. He said, let me just get it to you in so many different ways that you will get it. You will get it that man is lost. You might think you're okay and everybody else is okay and we're essentially good and we don't really need any God or need any Savior. I talked to an atheist this week. Hardcore atheist, making fun of the Bible, making fun of the promises of God, called me names. It was so good. I love it. I love a good debate. I just love it. It doesn't bother me a bit. Call me names. Go ahead. But I talked to him about God, talked to him about the surety of the Bible, and I just told him flat up, you're lost. And you don't know it. You're driving down the highway. You don't know you're lost. Heaven has a silver alert out for you. Amen. But Jesus said, let me just use illustrations that are true to form. A sheep says, we're all like sheep who have gone astray, but we're also like the coin. And I believe that he used a coin for this reason. The coin bore the image of the king. The coin in Jesus' parable was a drachma, D-R-A-C-H-M-A, drachma. And it was a valuable silver coin worn in a 10-piece garland or necklace by married women. And so you have this beautiful necklace with 10 silver coins on it, drachmas, and one of those coins came loose and fell and became lost. This was not junk jewelry. Jesus would never compare us to junk. It was not junk jewelry. It was valuable, just like your soul is valuable. And it bore the image of Caesar. Remember once when Jesus was asked about taxes? And Jesus said to them, "Do you have a coin? Hand me one of your coins." And he said, "Let me see it." And then he said, "Whose image is this on the coin?" And they said, "It's Caesar's." Now here's the point. The coin Jesus used as an illustration bore the image of the king. You and I, just like the coin, bear the image of the king. The Bible says, here's what makes your soul so valuable. God said before creating man, he said, "Let us make man in our image." He said, whose image is on the coin? Caesar's. Now, he made you and me, and he said, "I'm going to imprint my image on you. I'm going to make you in my image. You're going to bear the image of the one that made you. You're going to bear the image." He said, "Let us make man in our image. According to our likeness, we are made with the image of our Creator stamped on our soul." We're not like dogs, cats, birds, fish, nothing. We have been made with the image of the Creator stamped on our soul. We are like Him. We resemble Him. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, whether you're high up on the success ladder in life or you have wound up in a ditch, let me tell you, you are valuable because you bear the image of Creator God. I got two 20s in my hand here. Somebody said, "Woo." You think I'm going to throw them, don't you? I got three services to do. That'd be an expensive day. Here's two 20s. This one's perfect. This one, I'm going to do this to it. Now, bear with me. Bear with me now. Because here's what the devil tells some of you. Because you've done what you've done, gone where you've gone, wasted your life, made so many bad decisions, he doesn't love you anymore. Listen to me. Here's a perfect 20. This one is all crushed, wrinkled, messed up, stomped. Well, let me stomp it. There. It's stomped. But let me ask you. If I came up to you and said, "Here, let me give you this one or this one," would it matter to you which one it was? Because even though this one, and you look at this one and you go, "Well, that's a perfect 20. It hadn't been bent, hadn't been wrinkled, hadn't been stomped, hadn't been messed up. But this one has been all messed up. But you know and I know it has the same value as this one." Same value, right? So what I'm trying to show you is it doesn't matter where you've been, what you're coming out of, if you were a drug addict, an alcoholic, a prostitute, way down and out, or if you were up and out and you were riding high and you had the wife and the husband and the kids and the white picket fence, you're this 20, or you've been in the gutter, you're this 20, it doesn't matter. When God looks at you, you have the same value. Don't let Satan tell you that because of your sins, what you've done, where you've been, the decisions you've made, the bad decisions you've made. Don't let him tell you that God's done with you, doesn't care about you, that you're not as valuable to him as a good church person. That's a lie from the devil. And I'm here to rebuke the devil's lies out of your brain. But Pastor Jeff, he's had to forgive me 1,000 times. And you know what? He'll forgive you 1,000 more because he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. And you have the same value. When the prodigal son left the father's house, I'll be talking about him next week. He never ceased being the father's son. And when he came back looking like this, the father welcomed him with open arms, hugged him with a great big hug, kissed him on the cheek, killed the fatted calf, threw a great big party for him, saying, "My son who was dead is now alive, he who was lost is now found, and he had the same value as the elder brother that looked like this. Amen, amen. Now, I also noticed that the coin was lost in the house. Think about it, because Jesus never wasted a single solitary word. He meant exactly what he said and said what he meant. If you think about the parable containing four things lost, two of them were lost in the house, two of them were lost by straying out of the house, out of the fold. The sheep left the fold. The coin was lost in the house. The son left the house. The elder brother was in the house. Two strayed and were lost that way. Two got lost right under the father and the shepherd's nose. This one, the lost coin, is lost in the house. I think that's significant. I think it matters. This points, in my opinion, and I believe it's sound interpretation, to how people can so often be raised in church, hear all the teachings, hear the gospel, sing kumbaya, go to all the potluck dinners and all the fellowships, have their name on the roll, and sit right there in the pew for years and are never truly born again. They're lost in the house. This coin was lost in the house. That's significant. I know, because every week we give an invitation to people who are in the house, come forward and receive Jesus, and then they're made sons and daughters of the house. But you can be in the house and not of the house. Come on, everybody. You can be in the house, but not of the house. Billy Graham once said that the greatest harvest field in the whole world, I feel the greatest evangelist of our time, for sure, hands down. So the greatest harvest field in the world is the church, because so many coins are lost in the house. They have the value. They bear the image of God, but they haven't been born again. You say, well, how can that be, Jeff? I don't understand how you can sit there and not get born again. Let me show you how I think it happens. In 1879, there was an epidemic of chicken cholera, and it swept America. The poultry population was being decimated by this chicken cholera. And it became an emergency, a national 911. And there was a man, a French biologist named Louis Pasteur. And Louis Pasteur was a brilliant man. He wanted to figure out what was causing this cholera and how to stop it. And he was working on it day and night and night and day. And one day he just finally got so tired, he said, look, I'm going to take a break. I'm going on vacation. And he went on vacation. And when he returned, he injected some chickens with cholera germs that had been left in some flasks while he was on vacation. So it was older cholera germs he injected them with. And to his surprise, the chickens didn't get sick. They're clucking around just being fine. Thinking that the germs in those flasks had spoiled while he was gone, he collected some fresh cholera germs.
We hope you were blessed by Pastor Jeff's message. We're so glad to have you with us today. Here at Life Talk, we want to stay connected with you and help equip and encourage you in your walk with the Lord. If you would like to receive e-devotionals and ministry updates from Pastor Jeff, visit our website at lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us. From there, you can sign up to receive this exclusive Life Talk listener email. When you sign in for the first time, we'll send you a free gift as a thank you for being a devoted Life Talk listener. So go to lifetalk.us and sign up for a free e-devotional today. To get a copy of today's message or this entire sermon series, give us a call toll-free at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Our friendly staff will be standing by to assist you and even offer you a special discounted price so you can get your own copy of your favorite message or the entire sermon series from Pastor Jeff. This is our way of thanking you for your unwavering support for Life Talk. Once again, the number is 877-884-3111, or visit our website at lifetalkradio.us for more information. You've been listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Join us again next time for the continuation of this message entitled The Lost Coin, in this series called Lost. Thank you for listening today. We look forward to being with you again here on Life Talk Radio. Until then, God bless.